Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk. So this week we discuss group chats and national security, freedom of the press is safe for now, and the current state of politics of transgenderism. Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk. I've got Matthew Owen with me. We are discussing national politics of the day and, of course, the story of the week. It's on a lot of comedy shows, but it's kind of a serious thing because it is incompetence. We like to think that it's a great idea to bring in outsiders and not rely on institutional knowledge. But as it happens, discussion about a pending military action was held on a public chat app with a text team, and these people who are all supposed to be professionals were on this with phone numbers they didn't recognize, including one Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, Goldberg. I keep accidentally saying Goldblum, but Goldberg, editor of The Atlantic, and he accepted it, said fine. He knew Michael Waltz, who is the person who was kind of, I guess, responsible for setting it up. And he went on expecting maybe there was going to be some type of interview. And what he heard was discussions of an attack on Yemen or in Yemen that took place, not long after they started chatting. So it's this is a serious thing. I mean, there's a lot of jokes about it. All of the late night comedians are having a lot of fun with it. But, it isn't even so much that they made the mistake, because this guy obviously does not have, Mr. Goldberg obviously does not have national security clearance. He was a reporter and he was responsible. He didn't publish anything until they basically officially said that no classified information was on there. So he basically posted them all to let readers decide for themselves whether or not that was something that should have been made available to a reporter. But I think the problem isn't so much that the mistake was made, although it is really incompetent. There are White House servers, government servers that allow for this to happen. And so they made a bad decision to put it onto a private platform app, public, and then weren't very careful about who ended up in the meeting. And not only that, they're doing this from their cell phones, which can be hacked. And now that they, whoever might be wanting to tap in knows this, they're going to know this in the future because the administration isn't even strictly committing to not use this app. So there's a lot to talk about here, Matthew, but I want you to chime in on what you think is important about this story. But I think what's really important is that they admitted it was a mistake, but then they go on attacking the reporter, who he just shrugs. I mean, there was a great interview on Morning Joe where he's just like, whatever. But this isn't a hoax. This happened, Matthew.
In defense, Eric, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth says, in the future, I probably shouldn't drink and text, so I'm going to give up texting. So this was a man who said, if I'm confirmed as Secretary of Defense, I'll stop drinking, said no alcoholic in the history of the world. You get what you paid for. You voted for a clown show. You have to expect you're going to get a clown show. Had this been done by the President Hillary Clinton administration, President Joe Biden administration, or President Kamala Harris administration, Fox News would be losing their mind. They got a reporter in on battle plans 2 hours prior to a strike. And this reporter could have leaked the information out to the world and let the Houthis know in Yemen, hey, you're about to get missiles and F-15s. Maybe you want to move over a couple miles. It was just incompetence. Like you said, adding names or adding numbers without finding out who the names were attached to them. You never, ever do that.
No, I mean, it's, and it probably shouldn't even be done on that medium. But the issue here is, okay, they made a mistake. Own up to it. Say,
own up to it.
Yeah, okay, it won't happen again. Move on. But instead, they asked the president about it. Well, he's, I don't know how they described him, a sleaze bag, and Atlantic is a family magazine. Well, if it was last week, it ain't now, but it's probably getting more hits than anything.
And of course, President Trump did his usual, I don't know anything about it. And then once he did know about it, then he attacked the publisher or the lead editor of the Atlantic. So all we want to do exactly what you said. Own up. Oops, we made a bad mistake. It's not going to happen again.
That's all they had to do. And now they've made it in a week-long story because they're calling him a liar. Hegseth at the airport, at an airport somewhere, said, well, this is the Russia, same reporter who initiated the Russia hoax, and the both sides are there are nice people on both sides hoax, and I don't know that he had anything to do with them, but he listed off hoaxes, implying that this is a hoax. And they are not committing to not using that same app because they don't want to admit. They say they made a mistake, but then they don't want to. I don't know. It's weird. There's different hands and different people doing things. But why are you attacking the reporter? He acted responsibly. He acted according to his journalistic principles. There's a potential story here. I'm going to stay on the line. And he also didn't, like you said, reveal it to enemies. He waited until the administration said, oh, no, there was no problem. This wasn't a war plan. There were no classified documents. And, he said, oh, OK, well, then I can go ahead and publish them. And that's what he did.
And also they said this wasn't a war plan. It was an attack plan.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So you can go on Fox News and spin it however you like. But all you had to do is tell the truth. Unfortunately, this administration is incapable of telling the truth. It will always be deny, deflect, and attack. That's Trump's modus operandi 101. And nothing's going to change.
And why not apologize? Obviously this administration doesn't do that. It should have been, it was a mistake. We apologize. This could have put our people into danger. If they knew about it, it could have led to a failure of the mission, a lot of other things. But it's Fox News, their line is, hey, it shows how professional they were. I saw emojis. I mean, they're talking about that. That's like, teenage. Right. I know. I mean, it's just. I'm not even sure what the emojis meant. There was one with a fist, a flag, and I forget what the third image was, but it's just, I don't know. And it did show that there was a little bit of a difference of opinion between Vance and Hegseth. But Hegseth, you talked about, is an alcoholic. That was part of what came up during the hearings. There's a number of people have created a hashtag. They call this whiskey leaks.
And the other thing what I found most striking was that Vice President J.D. Vance said, why are we protecting the Europeans? The Suez Canal is primarily for Europe transport. The Houthis have been attacking them. It hurts the Europeans more than us. Why are we getting involved? Which just shows this administration's isolationist. They do not want to get involved in anything around the world. Make America great again. Screw the rest of the world. That's not who America is. Post-World War II, we've been a policeman for or around the world. Any global conflict, America is there.
I don't know which of them responded, but one of them said, hey, it could increase our oil prices if we don't get that under control. I'm not so sure that this is going to lead to anything. We've been bombing Yemen and the Houthis now for two decades. I'm not quite sure that this is going to be a solution to anything, but to say that it's not our problem, that it's Europe's problem, no, that's a major, sea trade route for all kinds of things, including oil. And then somebody was like saying, if Iran had done it, if it was depriving Iran's access, we probably wouldn't do anything about it. And it's like, no, but Iran probably would, and nobody would probably even blame them. So it's just, and besides which, not letting oil out of Iran could also have an impact on oil prices. It's just, it's, I mean, we can discuss the policy of it as to whether or not it's going to accomplish anything. It's, Yemen has been bombed more than just about any other country in the 21st century at this point. But that's a separate discussion. You know, that's the Trump bombed Yemen more than Obama and Bush combined. He did it in 4 years, more than what they did in 16 years. And it just doesn't seem to be a solution to anything. But that's a separate discussion.
One other thing I want to bring up today, Eric, today, President Trump imposed 25% tariffs on all foreign auto imports. So the cost of your $40,000 Honda or Toyota is now going to be $50,000.
Yeah.
It's going to slow down consumer sales. It's going to be inflationary. Nobody in the world likes tariffs outside of one person, President Trump. Nobody else in the world likes them. They do it in limited cases here and there. But for the most part, they realize it stagnates jobs, because I can guarantee you every auto, go to your local auto dealer and see the new price with the tariff. They're going to freak out.
I didn't know that he imposed that. Does it apply to parts too?
Most foreign cars are built here, there, and everywhere, then shipped to America.
No, I know, but for instance, spare parts, headlamps, or anything like that.
It said foreign import autos.
All right, we'll have to
the whole thing, but
check on that.
I guarantee if you're selling Toyotas or Hondas or BMWs or Mercedes or Lexuses, you're going to be freaking out tomorrow morning because you got to take the window sticker and add a tariff thing of 25%.
Well, they'll probably keep the prices on for a while just because they already bought
those inventory. What about future inventory?
Yeah, future inventory is going to be a problem. They're probably going to hope that they can ride it out until Trump comes to his senses. I don't know. Do you know what this is imposed for? You know what the goal is?
Oh, yeah. He wants to bring American auto manufacturing back to the United States. He says BMW and Toyota just opened their plants here. There's no tariff. There's a few problems there. One, it's going to take at least 3 years to build a factory. Two, the factory is going to be at least 50% robotic. Three, American labor is too expensive. That's why they left America in the first place.
And why would they bother? There's plenty of markets now developing all over the world for cars. Why go through that trouble in a very saturated market? I mean, you know, that's it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. The tariffs were prevented the last time because the three auto manufacturers sent their representatives to the White House. I don't know what's happened. They're just saying that, you know, it doesn't work that way. If you want to encourage American, you know, development of it here, then maybe subsidize it if you really need to, so that they can pay for the labor or something. I don't know.
I love the trip sycophants going on Fox News saying American consumers just need to get used to paying more for products. What did Trump campaign promise on day one? He was going to lower inflation, not increase inflation.
I wish he had done that during the campaign, been honest, you know.
What if you find out your $29.99 pair of Levi's are not going to cost you $59.99? People are going to freak out.
Levi's made in Asia? I wasn't aware of that.
Not made here.
Interesting.
As Mark Cuban from Shark Tank says, do you want to pay double or triple the price because we're going to have higher American labor? That's a simple thing.
I mean, we do have to solve the problem of what does a particularly a man, but anybody with just a high school education who just isn't cut out for college do for a living? We do have to solve that problem. But is using this to try to force an economics that brings jobs back here where, you know, we actually have real unions.
I have a prediction there. He's going to force to bring the jobs back here as non-union. If he could pay them $7.25 an hour, the federal minimum wage, he'd be happy to bring the jobs back here.
Yeah, but he can't. There's no law that allows him to do that. You know? I mean,
federal minimum wage is $7.25, and 21 states have that in effect.
Right, but first of all, who's going to take a job like that? That's a hard job.
if you're the high school graduate, you're going to be living on $15,000 a year. Does that sound good?
Yeah. I mean, that is the foreign policy. I'll have to read that story to catch up on it as to what I thought they were going to wait until April before they did any of that. But this is on all imports, not just aimed at certain countries.
It said all foreign imports.
All foreign imports. Okay. I mean, you know, and we're going to get hit. What's that?
The main imported countries are Germany, Japan, and Korea.
Right. Yeah, no. I wonder if it doesn't matter if you're rich enough to buy a Peugeot or something. You probably don't care about it anyway. But that's a good update. That is a very serious tariff. And it's not pending pertaining to any negotiations or anything. So basically, this tariff is supposed to stay in effect until we have a completely self-contained auto industry. I mean,
Trump thinks this is going to bring American manufacturing jobs back.
It's been tried before. It's not that simple. I mean, it didn't work to keep jobs from leaving. Why would it work to bring them back? And I mean, that's major investment. And, you know, and who's going to invest if they, you know, unless they think that Trump is going to be in for life, or that Trump or that is Vance, if there's another, if there's another. There's a lot to talk about. The suggestion that it's for Elon Musk, I don't know. We got to have infrastructure for electric cars.
Right. And by the way, this says it goes in effect April 3rd, and it's going to be a 25% tariff on top of the existing 2.5% tariff, making the total tariff 27.5% because it's critical to national security.
All right. On to the next topic. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
So next topic, freedom of the press is safe for now. There was a case, Steve Wynn, a Trump ally, was suing Associated Press over some coverage of some sexual misconduct he was alleged to have, case was filed way back in 2018.
Right.
And he filed against Associated Press, even though the story actually originally broke in the Wall Street Journal. He didn't sue them. That's right wing, owned by Murdoch at this point. So he sued AP on the grounds that AP didn't include some information that might have made him look better. I mean, that's like far from malice. Now, the case was rejected, dismissed early on the basis that it does not meet the standard for a public figure filing a defamation suit. And in the early 1960s, there was a case of the New York Times. I'm not going to get into the details of the article, but they published some information that was in fact true about Sullivan, Sullivan sued, and the Supreme Court basically adopted what had been developing over the years, which is there is a special standard if you're a public figure and the subject matter of the article pertains to issues of public interest. And that is, you can't just prove negligence as you can if you're a private person, for instance. And I'll provide some examples of the differences between the types of cases. But you have to prove malice, which means that the newspaper or the media source actually knew that the allegations that are in its story were false, or that they should have known, but had what's called a reckless disregard for the truth, which, you know, when the truth was in front of them and they just chose to ignore it and run with the story without it. So that's the standard. It's a tough standard to get by. And the Supreme Court at the time, the Warren Court, ruled that, you know, this is necessary because otherwise powerful people will just constantly file defamation suits whenever there's any story that ruffles their feathers. What's that?
That's who's doing that now.
Right. It will deter coverage of corruption, and it just will not benefit the country as a whole. Trump has for years, and certain other elements have wanted to overturn New York Times versus Sullivan. And in fact, in 2022, a similar case made its way to the Supreme Court, was also rejected. And by the way, when we say rejected, the Supreme Court didn't rule on this case or the other case. They simply chose not to hear it to allow the lower court cases dismissing it to be affirmed. And in this case, in the previous case, Thomas wrote a dissent that saying that New York Times is outdated. We've got too many media sources. Anybody can publish what they want. So we need to update this and lower the standards so that people can, rich people and famous people can file defamation more easily. Well, the majority doesn't agree with that. And I'll go into the good reasons why they don't want that. I mean, because, you know, Fox News has already been hit with a big thing, and they'd be hit all the time. So it's something that they don't want to have. And I noticed this time Thomas did not file a dissent. Also might have been because it was there was a defense of selective prosecution, given that Wall Street Journal was the one that had broken the story. But a lot to talk about in here, and I'll provide a little bit more history, but I want to get your thoughts in here, Matt.
I think the problem that I'm reading in this is President Trump wants to be able to decide if the article was written about him was good or bad. And if he doesn't like it, he wants to be able to file a defamation suit against them, even if they're reporting the truth. Even if he lies and they said he lied, he doesn't like that. And he wants to control the media. In case you haven't figured out what's going on here, Trump right now wants to control Congress, which he has. He wants to control the courts, which we're at a constitutional crisis, I'd argue now, when a judge said, do not have that plane leave with those Venezuelan migrants to El Salvador. And two of the planes were in the air, but a third plane was still on the ground. It left anyway. And the judge was not happy.
We talked about that on last week's show.
Right. He's pushing the boundaries here. Now he wants to control the media because he doesn't want anyone to say or do anything bad against him. And if you have any of these attorneys out there who used to file these cases for nonprofits are now being forced out. But he said, we're going to go after your clients. And if your clients get any federal money, we're not going to give it to them. So instantly, the clients are freaking out saying, I can't go to your law firm. Because you guys are doing this, and we're going to lose our federal contracts. So he's using the power of the purse string to scare people in line.
Yeah, and with any other president, any other time, that would have been impeachable right then and there to go after a private firm. Nobody, you know, would do that. I want to explain a little bit more about the standard and why this is so important. Fox News, I think it was last year or the year before, ended up with a judgment that was like close to $800 million. Right. It wasn't a judgment. It was a settlement because they were worried it was going to be much larger. That was because Dominion had sued Fox for defamation because Fox News allowed all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories about how Dominion was in league with China and Venezuela and how they flipped the switch and stole the 2020 election for Joe Biden. This was, of course, crazy stuff. And they asked to be able to get on. They didn't even ask that Fox News stop reporting this stuff. They asked for an opportunity to come on and present exactly what they do and why most of these allegations are actually impossible, could not be done. They do not have the tech to do what was being said of them. They got one show And so many Fox viewers were angry. They were going to stop watching Fox because they allowed Dominion representatives on. And then, you know, again, the particularly the pantheon of the weeknight shows just went on and on and on with the conspiracy theories because that's what their viewers wanted. And so, yeah, and Dominion begging for an opportunity to counter it. And being denied it. So that was and then when they got the emails where Sean Hannity and the rest pretty much admitted that they were lying, that was it. That they were Dominion was going to prove malice, either that Fox knew or which they did apparently that these were lies, or they just didn't care. And they weren't going to give Dominion. They were catering to a certain population. So that was a case where, you know, the absence of malice or the absence of malice defense is not absolute. You can still lose a case on it. And then the other case was, of course, what's his name? Who the InfoWars? What's the name of that guy?
Alex Jones.
He was sued by private individuals, although there was a question as to whether they were public figures by the time he was doing this, but victims of the school shooting down there and basically claiming that they were crisis actors, that they didn't really lose anybody, that the event never happened, again, catering to crazy conspiracy theory stuff. Well, they had no time, trouble proving malice, even if they were public figures. And basically, Alex Jones is his organization is in oblivion right now. And then there was another one where the so-called mainstream media made a big mistake and a couple of them were sued. I think CNN and NBC settled out. I'm forgetting the gentleman's name, but as a young man who was on a field trip and there was a smirk on his face as he was being faced down by Native American activists while he was wearing his MAGA hat. And a lot of the media just assumed that smirk was, racist dismissal of the guy. And they covered it that way. And the guy just was smiling nervously. It was a nervous situation. And so they didn't have to prove malice there because he wasn't a public figure.
Right.
And so a couple of companies settled with them. Interestingly enough, the media that didn't settle with them, the cases ended up being dismissed.
Right. And his name was Sandman. Where's that? Nick Sandman.
Yeah.
So he ended up getting a multimillion-dollar settlement for having a dumb grin on his face.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was, I do think the media was irresponsible there. You don't make assumptions, about what is going on through his head, with it. But as I said, he's a private individual, so all he had to do was show negligence, that they just weren't, they were being sloppy and not thorough. And more than that, so the media is not, media can still be sued. There's this impression out there that New York Times versus Sullivan means that the media can't sue, or if they're sued, they can't lose a case. It's not true. There have been multiple defamation cases it's kind of like an early SLAPP protection, SLAPP being strategic lawsuits against public participation. I actually think our law needs to be reworked in California here, but basically what was happening is developers would sue everybody who showed up to a public meeting for defamation, knowing it wasn't true, have about 500 does, but would just scare them into silence. And even though they would be hit with malicious prosecutions actions later, one of them had a judgment of like $12 million against them. It was worth it to them if it meant that they could get their projects through. Or the case of Shell Oil suing Leo Donnini, I believe the guy's name was, for pointing out that some of their plastic pipes that they were making were carcinogenic. And so, so we have protections in place, but there isn't really a federal anti-SLAPP law. So the media relies on the New York Times, and especially small media that don't can't afford a lot of attorneys to fight off somebody like Trump or Wynn or, and, you know, these billionaires.
So, Eric, what are you going to do when Attorney General Pam Bondi sends you a cease and desist notice? No more talking bad about President Trump.
I mean, I don't think I'm high enough on the ladder to get that. But you know, who knows? I'll defy it. Will I lose my house because of it? I hope not.
The Justice Department comes after you and sues you for defamation because you said bad things about Trump, but we have it on tape.
Yeah. I know. I mean, you know, it's possible these things can happen. It's possible that these cease and desist letters will be sent out. They're filing all kinds of suits that already, like the quasi criminal action against New York for the state of New York and some of the officials for the sanctuary stuff. Those cases are going to fail, but they know that. It's about the grandstanding and so
being strong for their base.
Yeah,
on their base.
So far, the courts aren't really going along with them. Pam Bondi, no, it wasn't Pam Bondi. It was not Stefanik. What is the name of the Levitt? Levitt is it Levitt or Levitt?
Levitt, right?
Levitt, yeah. Said that falsely said that the judge on the issuing the order regarding that you've talked about with the immigrants was appointed by Obama. Well, he was initially appointed by Bush. And then was upgraded to the circuit court upgraded to a different court by Obama. You know, meaning that's a pretty good indication that he's a pretty good judge. But
don't expect Levitt to be accurate. She's still afraid that foreign countries are paying tariffs.
Yeah, I know. She also said that like 87% of the judges ruling against Trump are Democratic appointed, and that's not even close to true. There aren't enough judges for that to be. Now, granted, when a plaintiff files a case, they do file in a district court that they think they're going to get the best results. But we are in at least an attempt at authoritarianism. We've seen it. Judges actually are facing, you know, violent threats from people, and we are going to see them try to intimidate the media. That's, you know, just the way it goes. And we'll know what media is worth reading by who puts up, who resists it. I mean,
there's one way for Europe and Asia to respond to these tariffs. Tariff Tesla is being poured into their countries by 50%. That'll stop all sales of tariffs. And if that happens, Elon's going to lose his mind.
Yeah, we haven't even really talked about him much. I mean, there's a little bit of news out there. There were rumors that he was going to be briefed about military against the Chinese, but apparently that didn't happen, at least officially. So. Anyway, I think we've exhausted the topic, but, you know, wait to see, because it may be that other cases come. At least a couple of the justices have said they're willing to overturn New York Times versus Sullivan. They've already overturned some pretty landmark cases. They don't seem to be afraid of that.
Well, let's hope they don't overturn these.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
So this third topic is kind of a difficult one to discuss. We have, of course, a movement around transgenderism that has made certain demands on the American populace. And there are people who say that maybe they're pushing it a little too hard, a little too fast, that the American public just isn't up on the science and isn't ready to catch up on it, and maybe making all the demands about pronouns and things like that is just a bit much at the moment. Treatment is now being denied to minors, and I am not an expert on the science. I know it's a big debate, but in various states, the treatment has been banned, and there's even been talks of a federal ban. I don't know that the federal government has that kind of authority. But the problem is that if people are going to transition, that's the best time to do it. That's when it's the most effective, when you're still growing. Are there, negative side effects? I mean, there's a lot to discuss. It's a complicated subject, as is the subject of transgender women in sports. Does it, give them an unfair advantage? And it's been sort of my way or the highway type of approach. No, none of them should be in women's sports, or all of them should be without any type of restriction. And some people are saying maybe we need to look at it sport by sport. I mean, for instance, shooting, archery, equestrian, curling, whatever. Curling, those are sports that I kind of wonder why we even have a gender divide anyway. But then you get into more physical sports, in which having a strong bone structure maybe gives you an advantage, even if you don't have the hormone advantage that you once had. There's a lot to discuss. It's a very emotional issue, but it definitely was an issue that you have to say hurt the Democrats at a certain point, just as civil rights hurt the Democrats after the Civil Rights Act was passed. There is a reaction to it. On the eve that the Civil Rights Act was passed, something like 80% of the population opposed interracial marriage, including a number of Black people. So history moves, but sometimes it doesn't move as quickly as you wanted to. And I certainly understand from somebody who's like, got facing, people that basically say they don't exist as who they are. It's a tough one. And so the question here, Matt, is how should Democrats handle these issues? It's delicate because you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Because I do believe that there's going to come a point where there is a consensus that it understands that, it is a difficult thing. There are situations where XY people, because they get the wrong hormones or that they develop the parts that don't match their DNA, for instance, or their chromosomes. I mean, there's so much to discuss about it. It's a difficult one, but it's become such an emotional thing. How should the Democrats handle this issue?
It's pretty simple. Ignore it. It's less than 1% of the population, but it doesn't lose Democrats votes. It loses Democrats elections. We've been in Clark County in October of 2024 campaigning for Kamala Harris. Four times an hour, I heard Donald Trump's ad on the radio about transgender. It was just an issue that doesn't go over well with mainstream America. Most people don't know a transgender. Most people don't care. And especially when you talk about my child going on, Trump said how many ads? You send your kid to school as a boy, he comes back home that night as a girl.
Right.
Now, if that probably lied and made up the story. But the point is, I can guarantee you Republicans are sitting around talking around the table. How crazy are these Democrats?
Yeah. Yeah. But now let's go back to 1968, actually even 1964. The Republicans came up with the Southern Strategy, and it was and Kevin Phillips, who was a conservative at the time, a Republican later moved over, made a transition towards liberalism, admitted that what they did was they were taking advantage of the racism to be able to win Southern votes. And eventually they did. The Southern white population did eventually pretty much become almost extensively Republican. So should the Democrats have downplayed or ignored the civil rights issues of the time.
Lyndon Johnson said when he signed the Civil Rights Act, there goes the Southern states. I've just lost them for the Democrats. That was six years ago, and they've still been voting red.
It is. So what should the Democrats have done at the time? Not pass the Civil Rights Act or the Voting Rights Act?
No, I think they're okay, and they decided to take their lumps. It was best for our country.
Yeah.
How many people are black versus how many people are transgender?
Yeah, what but there are still... It is less than 1% of the population, but they're people. They're people that deserve protection. And
make a big issue out of it is what I'm trying to say.
No, I get that. But sometimes you need to, be, you know, when they are one of the more physically attacked groups in there, they do need some protection. And, you know, how do you do that? How do you leave it? I mean, I know one thing that made the civil rights people, the pro-integrationists, in fact, Wallace himself, they stopped saying that they were defending segregation, and they started talking about civil rights. That was, states' rights. Right. They started saying this is a states' rights issue, right? That way they can't be accused of being racist. It's just clinical. I mean, one of the things I think to emphasize in terms of the treatment, because I don't know what's right or wrong on the treatment. I'm glad I haven't had to make that decision. But I think they can frame it as parental rights to say, hey, you know, you oppose laws that prevent you from, you know, spanking the children. Why not leave it up to us to decide what's right for our children if we have somebody who's transgender? So, you know, I think they could frame that as parental rights and maybe make some ground on that, because these laws deny parents the rights to do it. The doctors can't talk to them about it, and they can tie it in with the whole abortion thing about depriving people of treatment they need. Harris made a mistake of checking a box on a form 4 years ago that says that immigrants would be entitled to transition treatment. That was a mistake. I don't think she should have said that they wouldn't be. She probably just should have left the box blank, you know. So, just don't answer it, right? But at any rate, this is, you know, so you could talk about prisoners' rights to have their medical treatment. You can have talk about parental rights to make the decisions for their children. That's probably how it should be framed at the moment.
But I'll say this: 99% of the people do not want to have children getting transgender surgery prior to age of 18.
But again, conservatism is supposed to stand for individual rights against the collective decision about their child raising, right?
Not against God.
I mean,
you're getting into the whole Bible thing there, and that's bad road.
The Bible doesn't say anything about transgenderism. Nothing. Zero. It says a few things in the Old Testament about homosexuality, but. But that's in the same places where you can. It tells you how you can sell your daughter off into slavery, and how you're supposed to burn anything that's touched by a woman who's menstruating. I don't know how you're supposed to know that, but you know those rules were in there back then, but there's nothing about transgender, and almost every culture actually has had room for transgender. There's names for it in native tribes and the rest. They recognize that there is a third spirit or something like that. I mean, I get the idea that maybe they should not make a big deal about it. The question is, though, is they can't abandon people who have this. I think we need to emphasize that the best arbiter of who a person is themselves. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe they're self-deluded, but it's their decision. And if they mess up, they mess up.
You saw Governor Gavin Newsom went on a conservative podcast. I want to say Joe Rogan or Charlie Kirk, where he said that he's against men transgendering into women and playing in women's sports.
And playing in women's sport, yeah. And, you know, and I understand it. I want to know more about the science. I want there to be more science on it. I mean, obviously, you look at some of the physical distance differences between it. But then, you know, I went out for sports where people were a lot bigger than me, too, where I could easily be injured. I mean, you know, I just did that. In wrestling, you have weight divisions that, you know, but, you know, the case of the woman who was at the Trump speech who was injured allegedly by a transgender who spiked it on her. I mean, I look at how cis women spike those balls. And I think if that hit my head, I'd get a concussion. It's not, you know, but. Again, I want more scientific discussion on this. I don't want this to be, you know, anecdotal.
And Eric, here's why this is a losing issue for Democrats. There's approximately 550,000 NCAA athletes playing from California to Maine. Football, baseball, basketball, golf, all the things you're talking about earlier. Out of the 550,000, guess how many are transgender?
I don't know, probably a dozen.
10.
Yeah,
a guy said it in a recent congressional testimony. Right. So the Democrats are going to go ask for transgender rights for 10 people out of 550,000. And by the way, those other 550,000 are the rest of America, especially middle America. Yeah. If you start pushing these things, you're going to lose the Midwest. What used to be the solid blue wall is going to turn red.
Well, you know, the way that I mean, this was when Vance during the campaign was talking about, I think we'll probably get the normal gay vote. I mean, whatever the normal gay means. But the way that there were all kinds of jokes about, you know, the apps where he can find normal gays. But anyways,
I don't know what that means.
he never defined it. I think once he realized he'd said that, he just shut up. But I mean, obviously, there needs to be a campaign because what happened with the gay and lesbian people is that they started coming out, and then family members like, I didn't know my uncle or my nephew or my niece were this way, or my child, you know, and they started meeting people. I mean, one of the things that, do you remember Prop 6 in 1978 that was going to ban homosexuals from teaching or anybody who advocated for homosexuals? No. It was called the Briggs Initiative, and it was pretty scary. And for a while, it looked like it would pass. And Harvey Milk went on a tour. He went into the valley and into conservative areas and said, hey, this is me. This is who I am. And even though people are saying, well, you know, you're not following God's law, they at least had to address it as a human being. And right. And so there needs to be more of that, obviously, before the transition is made, before the population catches up with the science of it. But, I think the Democratic Party has to do a balancing act of winning elections, but also not being on the wrong side of history, as it has been in the past.
And if I was inviting the Democrats, I'd say don't talk about it at all.
What about if you're asked about it?
Don't ask, don't tell. That's how I would tell them.
I mean, if you're asked by a reporter, what is your position on transition therapy before you're 18?
I'm against men transitioning to women playing in women's sports. And if you said that,
well, that's what Newsom's saying, because he's thinking of running for president, but he also could, you know, lose a lot of progressive votes over that. So
who are they going to vote for, Trump or J.D. Vance?
No, in the primary. He's going to have a lot of competition. If he's running for president, he'll be up against Gretchen Whitmer.
As Bernie says, I'm in favor of transitioning my 14-year-old kid, he's gone. The Midwest is gone. He's lost it.
Right.
The South won't vote for him, and the Midwest won't vote for him, and the Democrats are going to lose again.
I think they could also just say, you know what? I support parental choices. I don't know the science.
Great idea.
I'm not aware of the science. I'm not, unlike somebody who is a mega politician, I'm not an expert on things I know nothing about. And therefore I don't, want to assert a clear position on it until I'm presented with the science and the proper committees and the rest. And therefore, for the time being, I support parental rights to make medical decisions for their children.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's,
I would just do is I support parental rights. It's stop there.
Don't go
in the weeds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, fewer words are probably the better. I mean, history is going to move on this. You know, it was only, Obama himself, I don't think he ever felt it, but the Clintons opposed gay marriage, right? And that changed overnight.
And you know who was in favor of that, Eric?
Who's
your
that?
Profession. Divorce attorneys. 50% of all Americans
can have a divorce. Yeah, so that all Americans can enjoy the benefits of divorce court. Yeah.
Wait till you have the thrill of a divorce and wait till you have to pay a divorce attorney. Yeah. I loved it.
It's true. It's, a lot happened there, but they, of course, you know, we've passed a law that we just in this last election overturned, and we finally have made it that even if the federal Supreme Court overturns its decision about gay marriage, it will still be in effect in California. Texas, it's going to be kind of interesting because they passed a law years ago and they haven't changed it. It says the state of Texas shall legally recognize no relationship that resembles marriage. Period. I mean, so I think they banned marriage, just doesn't marriage look like marriage anyway? All right. Well, we're going to obviously be discussing this because it's going to come up again, and Republicans are going to try to use it to their advantage, just like the Southern strategy. And Democrats are going to have to be careful as to how they respond because it was a fact.
Wedge issues.
Yeah.
That's all I say to the Democrats. Stop being stupid and don't give them wedge issues.
This brings us to predictions. Matt, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to predict that Trump's all his campaign promises to start to come to fruition, and the red states are going to freak out when they find out, one, their Medicaid's being cut, two, the prices of the cars just went up 27.5%. Egg prices are still going up. Gasoline prices are going up. He's failed at almost every campaign promise. So once they figure out that his campaign promises are affecting their pocketbook and most importantly their health, they're going to start to think, maybe I didn't vote the right guy.
Well, mine is a little bit related. There was a special election held this week in Pennsylvania. It's a beat red district that the last in 2022, the Republican didn't ran unopposed. I mean, it is that type of district, and Trump won it overwhelmingly. And the Democrat in this race pulled off a narrow win. That is sending shudders throughout the Republicans. And they're worried about these special elections coming up in Florida, which if the Democrats manage to pull off some incredible upsets, would actually flip the House to the Democrats. I don't think that's going to happen. One of those districts is Matt Gaetz. I just don't see them electing any kind of a Democrat. But
or a principal person.
Right. However, I do believe it's going to be a lot closer than it should have been. And that there is going to be some pushback from people in Congress that are in swing districts that they may not be jumping on to the Trump bandwagon for everything in the future. So my prediction is that those are going to be closer and it's going to lead to a little bit of a change in the politics, at least in the House.
We'll watch Florida and see what happens.
We'll find out. We'll discuss it in the future. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.
Watch the elbow.
Yeah.